It's a good Monday. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com. Brad Sussmat into Super Bowl week, into Waste Management Open Week. A lot going on. We'll have Paula Bova News and Notes coming up here in a few minutes at about the bottom of the hour. And, of course, with Paula and AZ Central Sports, we partner with them. Peter King will be with us. Monday morning quarterback, SI.com, the MMQB, all things around the National Football League. Had a busy weekend. I was out with the Seahawks yesterday over at the Arizona Grand, and it was in mid-afternoon when I went down to the downtown to go get the credentials and all that stuff. And then I drove over to the hotel. The line of people that are here already supporting the Seahawks, it's staggering to me. Now, the Patriots are flying out today before the world comes to an end on the East Coast. I'm sure if you haven't heard, there is a gigantic, this is the end of the world, you can't make a movie that can even describe it, snowstorm of monumental proportions that is moving in. So the Patriots are flying out today, and we'll be here this afternoon. Tonight, I'll be over covering the Patriots, Tom Brady and all that fun stuff, and Bill Belichick. They are going to be out of Wild Horse Pass. I can tell you where they're going to be, and you're thinking, I'll just run out there with a football and a Sharpie. In security, it's like getting into, I don't know, Fort Leavenworth. I don't know. It's just very, very difficult to get in. So we will be out there tonight doing that. But the whole Super Bowl thing is going on tomorrow morning, or sometime during tomorrow after Tiger Woods' practice round. We will be over with Tiger Woods. Of course, we're excited that Robert Allenby is going to be talking tomorrow. Why not? And I'll have much more on that story, because, of course, he didn't fall and hit his head on a rock. And he's going to be talking tomorrow at the same time as Tiger. I never thought I'd see a sports weekend where Bill Nye, the science guy, was being brought in. Any of you see that? Eric, did you see Bill Nye, the science guy?
I did not. I heard about it. Did not see it.
Awesome. Like, I'm watching Good Morning America, which I never do on the weekends. Or very... I'm not a connoisseur of morning... or just television in general. And there's Bill Nye, the science guy, doing his thing. And he's breaking it down and saying Bill Belichick just doesn't know anything at all about what he's talking about. Which I thought was pretty entertaining, actually. So... watch some of that over the weekend. So a lot going on, obviously. We'll get into the Pro Bowl in a minute. I'm not going to sit here and break down play-by-play, because just because I think the Pro Bowl is a complete waste of time, and I didn't watch one play of it, I don't care. But fans, because they can't go to the Super Bowl, the Super Bowl average ticket price is now $4,501 for one ticket to get in to watch the Super Bowl. And I get it. This will be the most watched Super Bowl ever, because I look up and I see a bus on the NFL Network with a helicopter over it. Of course, it's the bus taking the Patriots to get on a plane. Of course, it's like OJ and the Bronco. This is the bus. What has happened here with the football and Airgate and all that stuff? It's brought in people that never, ever, ever watch, and there are more people that don't care about sports and don't care about the NFL than people that do. Those people that don't care are being sucked into this, because it is now crossed over. When CNN does wall-to-wall weekend coverage, it tells you there's nothing going on in the world, in their opinion. Whether bodies are being shot overseas, whether price of oil is going back, doesn't matter. What matters is, was there enough air in the football? This is a scandal of monumental proportions in some people's minds. Not mine necessarily. I mean, Tom Brady did something to a football, in my opinion, that pitchers do to baseballs, and he got caught. Doesn't mean he's a cheat, but it's a fact. It's the Patriots, so it's going to be blown up over and over and over. If you're wanting me to break down Cam Chancellor against Rob Gronkowski, I can do that pretty simple. That's easy. But more than anything, I'm looking forward to seeing that. If Seattle's defense wins, they will have beaten Manning and they will have beaten Brady in the past 2 years. So you would have to have the discussion of the Seahawks defense going down as one of the best ever. Those are angles that I think we can start moving into, but I guarantee you, that tonight at Wild Horse Pass after 6 o'clock when the Patriots are on display, even though Bill Belichick on Saturday, I'm done talking about this, the NFL sent out a deal, Patriot players can't talk about this. Sorry, Worldwide's going to show up, and Worldwide media is going to ask question after question. It was like yesterday, somebody asked Pete Carroll one question, and I'm sitting there, like, somebody already asked him about what it means to coach against a former team. And they went back at it, and back at it, and back at it. And that's what happens this week. It's fish in a barrel. You know, they can't escape, so... Let's get you caught up some things in my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Honda Resort and Casino, this coming weekend, the big game is going to be on. You may want to head up to the White Mountains, get away from everything going on in the valley around the big game. Hit the Sunrise Ski Resort, go down the great runs that they have there, catch, and there's some storms that are moving in, maybe some fresh powder, but you can do some sledding, some ski boarding, whatever it may be. The Honda Resort and Casino, that's the place to stay. Wake up, have a great meal, head up to the slopes, come back, warm up, have another great meal or two, pull down in the slots, have some fun, get away from it all, and do it at the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino, it is just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. The Honda Resort and Casino, and again, the big game this coming Sunday. You can check out the big game and enjoy your weekend at the Honda Resort and Casino. Paula Bovin in about 15 minutes, then Peter King. So I guess I want to start on the Patriots and the weekend, but because we're so Arizona-centric, we're very, very local, things we see on college, high school, pro fronts, the story here locally over the weekend was the Pro Bowl. The Pro Bowl was the story of the weekend. We, Arizona, sold out a Pro Bowl. I don't know whether that's a good thing to put on your resume or a bad thing to put on a resume. But nonetheless, fans, and I ran into them and on social media and our friends. My wife even mentioned me last night, wow, these friends of ours, they're at the Pro Bowl and they're so excited to be there. Did you know the Pro Bowl was on tonight? And I said, no, James Bond is on tonight. There's no Pro Bowl on in our house. Don't care. The Pro Bowl ratings are down year to year from NBC last year to ESPN this year. And they'll say, well, it's cable versus over the air, whatever. The Pro Bowl is good for fans. It's fine. We in our industry, I'm not being a snob. Yeah, I get my cred. I get a parking pass. It's part of what I do. It's part of the job. It's part of the hours that go through. It's one of those events I look at and say, not for me, not interested, don't care. But for many, many, many of you, you decided to go last night. And you put down some of your hard-earned money to watch guys dress up and play a game and play it. In my opinion, I didn't see the game, but probably play the game as usual at about half speed. But it shows that the NFL can put out a product that is really not very good, and people will watch it. I mean, that's really what it showed, right? Eric, you didn't watch last night, did you?
No,
did
not you? One single play. I haven't watched it in years. And when I saw on Twitter that people were paying upwards of $600 to watch that slop, I thought, pick a favorite charity and give that money to charity. You'll get much more out of it. Because the Pro Bowl is horrible. Like, it's just each year it comes around, it gets worse and worse. And this year, Brad, because we've been living in it for the past week, it's just so bad, and the product is so bad. On my Twitter timeline last night,
yeah,
I had people at the game saying, wow, I really wish I wasn't here. Man, these guys really just aren't putting in any effort. Why are we still here?
They were
and then there were others that said, you know what, this is kind of a cool experience. But I just think it's ridiculous. So,
but those people that paid their $600 were able to sit in seats or usually not able to sit in.
You could sit in a really nice Cardinal seat for $600.
Yeah, sure. No, you could, but the ability to get those seats, because there is a following of the Cardinals here. I'm not going to sit here and say that they're the greatest thing that everybody's following, because they're not. It's the product. It's the NFL. But the Pro Bowl, it's just one of those things that it's come and gone. I'm happy that if you went, that you enjoyed yourself. I'm sure that looking back on it, that the NFL offices will say, look at the great success we had in the Pro Bowl. See, I'm one of those guys that now that the game is here, it's fine. It's fine. I'm not going to get too hired. I want another one. I may not be the biggest Pro Bowl guy in the world, and I may look at the NFL's product and say it's not nearly as good as it once was, and there's a very large amount of arrogance around the league. But that doesn't mean it's not good for our community. Please come here and spend as much money as you want on our golf courses. True North, and I like to get out and golf. I'm not any good, but I like to get out and golf. True North is one of the more exclusive courses that someone can get on. Had somebody at True North send me a note that they're getting $360 per round, not for a foursome, per person this week.
And judging from the traffic that you and I saw in downtown Phoenix yesterday, people are definitely here and definitely spending their money.
Sure. No, no, Eric, this will go down as the highest rated Super Bowl ever because the fringe people that are going to now want to check this out, it has nothing to do with the parties. This has everything to do with Tom Brady's been accused of cheating. Bill Belichick twice. The Patriots. We hate the Patriots. I don't personally. I don't care. I don't have a dog in the fight. Here is Bill Belichick. So let's get over to this then. Saturday, I get a note around 12 o'clock from a friend saying, are you going to watch Belichick? It's Saturday afternoon. Why would the Patriots coach call a press conference? Well, obviously, he's trying to get out in front of the story and control it in his own way. Here is Bill Belichick on Saturday afternoon on the subject of Airgate.
I'm embarrassed to talk about the amount of time that I've put into this relative to the other important challenge in front of us. I'm not a scientist. I'm not an expert in footballs. I'm not an expert in football measurements.
So this guy's already been caught once in cheating. Here's more Bill Belichick.
And I can tell you from all the footballs that I've handled over the last week, I can't tell the difference if there's a one pound difference or half a pound difference in any of the footballs.
And this is where he wanted to get his message out, because tonight at 6, when he is approached by gaggles, I love that term, by gaggles of guys like me, he's not going to talk about it.
This is the end of this subject for me for a long time, okay? We have a huge game, a huge challenge for our football team, and that's where that focus is going to go.
Yeah.
I've spent more than enough time on this, and I'm happy to share this information with you.
Defiant. That was the one word that kept coming into my mind when I was watching this on Saturday.
Seemed a little desperate.
He was holding court in a way. He was talking down and pointing his finger, saying, I'm defending what I think I know, but wait, I really am not sure that I know what I think I know.
So I don't cover him daily, weekly, monthly. He's in the AFC. Very seldom do we see Bill Belichick show up on a conference call or anything along those lines. But for someone like Peter King, in about a half hour, I'm just curious from his view, what did he see? Because he has dealt with him over and over and over. And why the league is taking what, in my view, is this a minor rules infraction? In my view, I think you could certainly make that case. But why the league is taking so long, and they clearly are going to drag this thing. They're not going to announce it now, which means the commissioner's State of the Union is going to be all about this. You know, they're going to talk about, some other talking points will be leaked out. There'll be some story this week about the Rams and their move to Los Angeles. The NFL will get it out through their people, a bunch of other things, so that this press conference, when the commissioner has his State of the Union on Friday or Saturday, whichever day it is, that it will be one of those that will deflect away the attention. But when you have the Seahawks players, and this is what struck me yesterday, there's two things that struck me about the Seahawks yesterday. A couple of their players mentioned how they were coming to Arizona to face a really good quarterback. One of them said, we have not faced a good quarterback here in the past with the Cardinals. Okay, that was a nice little slam and a nice little swipe. All right. The other thing that struck me is Richard Sherman went out of his way yesterday, and I was in the Richard Sherman media scrum. There was probably 40 cameras and microphones and people hovering around, and he was the one that showed up late, which is fine. He probably had some other media obligations. Fine. I'm not whining about it. But he did go out of his way when asked, do you expect the NFL to come down on New England? Listen to what he had to say.
Their past is what their past is. Their present is what their present is. And will they be punished? Probably not. You know, not as long as Robert Kraft and Roger Goodell are still taking pictures at their respective homes. You know, I think it was just at Kraft's house last week for the AFC Championship. You know, you talk about conflict of interest.
Zing.
So he went way out of his way. I mean, he brought in the baseball bat. He brought in the heavy sledgehammer and said, here's what I'm going to say. And here's what I'm going to do. So I'm going to talk to Peter King about that in about 20 minutes. Also, I saw where Adam Vinatieri went out of his way, and he's great, but he said, if you're going to make it harder on the kickers, make it harder on everybody else. What does he mean by that? Have you watched all the rules changes against people on the defensive side of the football in recent years? I mean, come on. So they narrow the goalposts. It's fine. Jeff Hornacek got all bent out of shape at Markieff Morris again. How much longer do we have to put up with that nonsense? We'll talk about that and a few other things in my mind around the Open with Tiger Woods here tomorrow. That's straight ahead. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
So they're shutting down almost 2,000 flights on the East Coast. I was talking to Clark Judge from Talk of Fame Network. And they've got shows to do out here. And so some of the media, like Peter King, who's going to be with us in about 15 minutes, he got out here, do you know, Saturday or Sunday?
I'm not sure. I know he was out here yesterday.
Because
he's a New Yorker.
He's a New Yorker. So,
he is. Yep.
So, I mean, 2,000 flights that have been scrubbed. Imagine if the Super Bowl had been in New York this year, as it was last year. Imagine if you're the NFL... And where we do our show from, there are private jets already lined up knee deep on the runway outside of our studios here. And by Friday, I'm probably going to go on the roof on Friday and go take a picture of it because it'll be a parking lot by Saturday, Sunday of nothing but private jets, which was almost the downfall of Arizona not getting this Super Bowl. The traffic the last time of private aircraft getting out of here was botched. 3-hour, 4-hour wait. You cannot have that when you are Big Cigar. Can't have it.
It sounded like you needed a private jet to get up here from Chandler this
morning. I needed a private jet. I need a private jet every day. I need Uber helicopter. I need something.
Call Kobe. He's not using his helicopter.
The 101, whoever's idea it was to let's work on the 101 in the winter in January, you are high, okay? There's nothing good about this. This week, I should have just rented a place up here. Do you have an extra couch?
I do. We've got an extra bedroom if you want to crash.
I mean, come on. This is just, but like this snowstorm, we love weather events. Shoot, out here, we love the monsoon. But the Patriots got on their plane today and said, let's get out of here. And I don't know how it's going to be this week on the East Coast. They say it's going to hit hardest, like 24 inches of snow. Are supposed to fall in a 5-hour period in some ways. I don't know what that means because I'm out here with cactus and sand, all right? But it sounds like a lot. I just saw where Oberman sent out a tweet. They're not going to do their show the next couple days. Their boss has said, we don't want you on the roads trying to get in. Why can't we have that kind of gig, you know? So, you know, the Super Bowl's here, but I think the weather's going to be a big story this week. The game itself, I saw somebody explain this to me. I saw where the NFL has this app that they have released. Eric has it and he's already been raving about it. It's terrific. And part of the app is for those of you that are going to the game, you can actually sit and watch the commercials during the game while you're at the game. Why would anybody in their right mind say, hey, I think it's time to watch a commercial. That's why you go to the game, to get away from that stuff. Makes sense to me, but hey, when you're paying $4,501 per ticket and it's only Monday and they're up to $4,500, it's gonna get crazy. All right, some other things that I want to get to, and then Paul on here, and we'll circle back on the Super Bowl. So tomorrow, it's Robert Allenby and Tiger Woods, who are going to be talking tomorrow morning at the Waste Management Open. Exact same time as Super Bowl, we have the Open this week. Tiger's first appearance here. Paula had a great column over the weekend. I'm going to talk to her about the guy that had the gun when Tiger was here last time. So reading her story, the guy took his life later on. I mean, they found him. What I would like to do is find the kid that threw the orange. Because that's the other guy that chased Tiger out. Remember that? Guy rolled an orange out onto the putting surface, And that was the end of Tiger. So now he's back here. So we'll be able to talk to Tiger tomorrow. And somebody's got to ask me, I may be that guy. Did you hear about the gun incident and the guy and the orange and what made you decide to come back here? I think that's probably the overriding question. Where's your tooth, by the way? What really happened? And there's no snowmobiles here for you. If this were being played in New York this week, they'd have a snowmobile for you. Robert Allenby, though, that's the other guy. So you know that the Open people are getting hit on pretty hard about this Allenby story when we get it sent to us about 45 minutes ago that he's going to talk after his practice round. What can he say now? It has come out. We went through the story last week because I was so amused by it. That Robert Allenby claimed that he was stuffed in a trunk, he was beaten, he was robbed, but instead now it's come out because multiple people have seen, multiple people have brought it up, that he spent $3,400 at a strip club, and that he was so drunk that he fell down and smashed his face on the rocks. Well, here we have cactus he can fall into and smash his face. Here there's strip clubs all over Scottsdale. This probably isn't the right place for him to make a comeback on one hand. On the other hand, it probably is because nobody's going to be paying attention because they're all going to be talking about the Super Bowl. So his agent's like, you got to get back out on the course. Somebody's going to say something. Some fan's going to have some fun at his expense.
And we live, Brad, in such a forgiving society. If he would have just come out and said, you know what? I had a wild night out. I went to a strip club. I blacked out. I don't know what happened.
Somebody might have slipped something in my drink.
Exactly. Somebody must have slipped something in my drink. Yeah. I was a little bit out of control. Right. This story would have been gone down the wayside weeks ago. What happened? 2 weeks ago? 9 days ago, whatever. Yeah. It would have been gone by now. But because he lied, and now the trickle-down effect from all the lies are starting to come back, and we're starting to get more and more and more information. It's not smart. Okay, you messed up. We all mess up. Guess what? Most of us have been to a strip club. Just because you're a golfer, it's okay if you go to a strip club. That's fine. That's your business.
You have $3,400. You have $3,400. You're fine.
It's your business.
It's your $3,400.
But when you lie and then someone comes out and the details start to trickle down, you get a situation like this.
Yeah. So that story caught my eye. And tomorrow, you're going to have Tiger Woods and Allenby. I myself am going to be at the Open on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Eric's going to Media Day tomorrow. So we're going to balance things between Super Bowl and the Open. Wednesday, the Pro-Am is going on. Tomorrow, if you've never been to the Open, because there's people that have tickets to both events, to Super Bowl and Open. Not many, but there's some that do. Tuesday is the best day to go to the Open. Tomorrow, Tiger is going to be doing a practice round at the Open. I wonder how many people are going to want to see that tomorrow. There's also the putting contest tomorrow that they do with the Special Olympians, which is a terrific event. So that caught my eye. Ernie Banks passed away over the weekend. And me living here in Arizona, and I interviewed Ernie Banks. Eric, were you with me? We had the Ernie Banks sit down at Monty's old restaurant. Not Casa. It wasn't at Casa. It was Monty's at the Ranch over off of Alma School when Eddie and Michael opened that one up. They brought over Ernie Banks, and I sat with Ernie Banks on the air for, I don't know, it was almost an hour. And we had a very nice chat. And from then on, if we would see him out at things in spring training, he was always very cordial, very nice. Ernie Banks passed away over the weekend of a heart attack. I'm not going to go too far into this today, but there's some things this week with some guests that I think I could have them wax and tell some stories. Because you just don't say Ernie Banks passed away and then move on. Ernie Banks passing away is Chicago. There's no other way to put it. And he was terrific. In fact, Peter had a note about him this morning. I've got to ask Peter about the athletic prowess of Ernie Banks outside of baseball. I'm going to talk to Peter about that too. The Suns. So I want to get over to the Suns briefly and just say I've had enough of Markieff Morris. I've had enough of Markieff Morris for, I don't know, a year or so. Markieff Morris is the reason why, one of the reasons, he's not the only reason, but he's one of the reasons why I think the team is just kind of a 9-8-7 seed thereabouts. The team seems to think that they can make it places and go places with Markieff Morris as part of their rotation. I think he's on the back end of the rotation, if that. They had to bring his twin here, to pacify him, to make him work harder, better, smarter. And he gets another technical. Here's Jeff Hornacek last night. Now, the Suns, I watched most of this game yesterday afternoon. The Suns were in a game, but they just became completely unraveled, and it's just dumb. Another technical. This team should mirror their coach. Jeff Hornacek did not get a lot of technicals through his career, I'm willing to bet. This team won't shut up. So here's the coach after Morris got a T, got benched, was just dumb again.
It's driving us all crazy with the technicals. You know, we're going to get it straight, whether they like it or not. We're not just in this for this year. This is for the next few years and trying to be a team that in a couple of years can try to win a championship. And until we show these referees that we're not going to argue and we're going to continue to do this. I mean, it's aggravating. You know, we're arguing on calls that we even get.
Trade him. Enough. Here is more Jeff Hornacek.
You know, it's something's going to have to be done. Either we don't play him, we continue to sit him like this, or we get new guys in here that want to win a championship. So, you know, I don't believe that. You know, when you're yelling at the referees all the time, you got no shot. So we'll figure it out.
I would take C of those. C, getting new guys in here. What is the correct answer? C. Get Jeff Hornacek in with Lon Babby and Robert Sarver and Ryan McDonough and say, we're making a deal. We'll just get him out of here. Because it's not going away. Once a guy is like that, they're always like that. They're just not going to shut it down. Paula Bova News and Notes on the other side. Peter King in about 15 minutes. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Join you every Monday through Friday for a couple of hours. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central Sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sussmat.
News and Notes, my friend Paula Bovin, who had a terrific read yesterday on the guy that had the gun the last time Tiger was in the Valley and how that story all played out and how the guy took his own life. I'm trying to find the guy that rolled the orange out. Are you working on that one as well?
No, yeah, that was 2 years later. And when I was talking to the police officer who was involved with the gun issue, he was also involved with the orange issue. He happened to be there as well. And he said it was a teenager who was just kind of a dare by a friend.
Yeah.
And he was just really embarrassed that it happened. And so, no, I'm not pursuing that one.
Are you interested in hearing Tiger tomorrow?
I really am interested. I think he's right at the same time as Super Bowl Media Day, which I don't know if it was calculated or not, but I would like to hear him, but I don't think I'm going to have the chance.
I think it was calculated.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I will have the chance.
Right.
Eric's going to go down to Media Day. Of course, I want to hear Allenby's explanation about, you know, hitting his head on a rock, and he's being made available tomorrow, too. And
is he really?
You've been Super Bowl intense, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
You know that he claimed that he was stuffed in a trunk.
Oh, yeah. I saw
robbed.
His face.
Yeah. Well, not exactly. So a bunch of people have come out and said, no, he was here at the strip club, and
right.
He dropped $3,400. So,
you know, and we've talked about this before. Why don't these guys just come clean? You know, just say, gosh, I was stupid. I got drunk. I was at a strip club. I think people would just be more okay with that.
Of course, because you've been there and I've been there. We've dropped $3,400 at a strip club.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Of course we have.
But, you know, Charles Barkley admits that stuff, and people move on, you
yeah.
know? I mean, I just, it cracks me up that, you know, whether it's a tooth that's missing, whether it's, you know, a face that's beat up or whatever, just come clean at the beginning, say you were stupid. People are very forgiving.
I let the air out of the football.
Exactly.
Right?
Absolutely. I think if that's the case, if Tom Brady had went up there and said, listen, this happened, everybody's doing it, I think the rules need to be changed, but you know what, I screwed up, and I'll take the bullet for everybody and blah, blah, blah. I think it would have been better than what's happening now.
This is not McGuire and Sosa.
Right.
Okay? We would agree on that, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, this is a rules violation, a minor rules violation.
Right.
Okay, this is Armando Reynoso finding some stuff under his armpit and putting it on the ball, in my opinion,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah, right.
But because it's the Patriots and because I don't buy into the notion that if it's the Cowboys, it'd be just as much hatred.
Right.
Or if this were college football, if this were Alabama, how the world would come to an end if this was a Nick Saban watch team.
No.
I do buy into the notion that it's previous being caught cheating.
Right.
I do buy into that. I'm done with the story. It's just Belichick relit it. And then tonight, you know, I don't know if you're going to Wild Horse Pass tonight. I'm going out to that deal. But
right.
Here's Brady and Belichick tonight. They're going to be asked about it, and they're going to say, I can't talk about it. I can't
of
talk
course.
About it. I can't talk. And that's where we are now. But I thought Saturday was as bizarro a deal from any big-name coach as I've ever seen.
Just odd. I mean, you know, he's an odd cookie to begin with. And then just that whole deal and getting scientific and who are his handlers and why did they think that would make any sense to go that way? I don't know.
How about Richard Sherman yesterday? I don't know if you were you there or were you at Pro Bowl?
I was at the Pro Bowl, but I read the quotes, you know, and
I was there when he said it.
Right.
I was over at the Grand and I'm thinking he's a smart dude and
right.
He makes a good point.
Right.
But I just kind of sense on the Seahawks end that they're taking all this in like, doesn't matter. We're still going to get jobbed one way or the other because it's the Patriots and look at how close their owner is. And we want to point this out. That's what I took from that little exchange.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think he's speaking for he says what a lot of his teammates and others are probably saying behind the scenes. And he's just not afraid to, you know, I mean, this is a guy that, you know, can back up a lot of what he talks about. And so I think he just feels confident in saying what others are thinking.
Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist. You know Bill Nye, the science guy, right?
Sure. Well, not personally, yeah. But I know who he is.
So when that popped up over the weekend, that was one of my highlights, is seeing Bill Nye on Good Morning America Sunday morning being brought in to go against what Belichick said. I think Bill Nye should set up a booth at the NFL Experience. Put some footballs out there with some air. I mean, you can make this a science project.
Oh, my God. That would be so awesome.
Come on. Have some fun with this.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. All right. So the Pro Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
In our business, we say garbage, slop, but we don't have to pay $4,501, which this morning is the average price of a Super Bowl ticket.
Right.
Okay. So last night is sold out. Mm-hmm. Which is great for fans to go enjoy that. I don't, if they have $600 in disposable income, knock yourselves out.
Right.
That said, what did you make out of the Pro Bowl? I didn't watch 1 minute. James Bond was on. My life stops when James Bond is on.
You know, it's a hard all-star type game to reconcile because you, on one hand, you have athletes who don't want to get hurt, of course.
Sure.
You have fans who want competition, and in fact, it was great because the crowd booed the very first few minutes of the Pro Bowl because the tackling was awful, and it really seemed to kind of hold the players accountable. I thought it picked up a little bit. You know what? I think there's a place for it. There's clearly an audience because, look, this thing sold out. They've had, 11 million viewers watch this game, more than any other, more than baseball, more than hockey, obviously, you know, more than everything else, even the NBA. So there's something there. It's never going to be perfect because it's just, you know, you've got two different dynamics going on. I think for me, the interesting part is where it's going to end up because players were telling me after the game they want to go back to Hawaii, but this was much more successful of a project, I think, here in Phoenix. Will they consider keeping it, you know, stateside in a couple of years? I don't know.
I would like them to play it in New York City tomorrow in the middle of the snowstorm. It's got 3 feet.
You know, right.
In all seriousness, we look pretty good today, Arizona does,
sure,
compared to a year ago. And all I care about is, are we going to get another Super Bowl out here? And to say, you know, last time you guys were out here, the Pro Bowl sold out. And, I don't know, in New York City that same week, they had one of the largest snowstorms ever. How did that sit with your corporate guys?
Exactly.
So I feel like we're off to a good start to get in rotation for another one.
No question. We've both been part of a lot of the big events here in town.
Yep.
And I hear from my peers in the media a lot about it. They really do it up well. And I thought last night, you know, it is the Pro Bowl, but for the fan experience and for the people that were there, they seem to really enjoy it.
What are you working on today?
I'm working on a couple just Super Bowl related stories. I'm going to head out to the Seahawks availability later. Then I'm going to hit media day and write about the freak show that will be tomorrow. So.
I will see you at the Seahawks later today.
All right.
Stay well. There's Paula Bovin, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist and my friend. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Yeah, I'm sitting here having some fun talking about all the events that are going on around the valley. And this morning we don't do many meetings here. I just think I've got really good people that are on my team. We all work together and we know where we need to be. But occasionally it's just, okay, there's this going on, that going on, this going on, that going on. There's a lot happening this week. And so I have to have a vehicle that I trust, that I can get around in, that I'm comfortable in, that I can get my work done. And the Ford Fusion is that vehicle for me from Santan Ford. Santan Ford General Manager Tim Hovick, I'm going to see him all over the place this week, out at the Open, I'm sure. Next week, he's my guest for a National Letter of Intent Day for Arizona State's dinner. He's a big Sun Devil fan. We're going to go hear Todd Graham break down all the recruits. Now, Tim's involved in a lot of different charities outside of sports. I'm telling you guys, there's not many people as invested in the sporting world in Arizona than Tim Hovick and the people at Santan Ford. Why wouldn't you want to get a vehicle from that type of person, somebody who's really into what's going on? Stop in for yourself. Santan Ford just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Peter King is next. We'll talk about things around the NFL from the MMQB's Peter King. I'm Brad Sussmat. Later today, we'll be out at the Seahawks. Tonight, out at the Patriots. Tomorrow morning, Tiger Woods going to explain himself being out here. Real busy 24 hours. Of course, Media Day is tomorrow. We'll be all out and about. Sports 360 AZ, AZ Central Sports. I would advise you to read, and Peter King is with us, mmqb.si.com. We talk about the MMQB. Peter's column today was terrific because it explained a lot about Ernie Banks that I didn't know. And you're saying, well, that doesn't have anything to do with the Super Bowl. It doesn't matter. Ernie Banks had a big presence here in Arizona with the Cubs and all the Cub fans. But also, who's refereeing this week's game? And you put a lot into this. I'm glad you got out of the storm, and I hope that you, your family, and who's ever in New York is going to be fine. Do you feel sort of, I don't know, what are your emotions that you're escaping what is supposed to be the biggest snowstorm ever, Peter, in New York?
Well, I'll say this. It used to be my wife and I and two children lived in New Jersey in a home on a busy street with a big driveway and a circular driveway in front of our house. And we lived there for 19 years. It seemed that every year I'd go to the Super Bowl, the weather would be really nice. And third day I would be in some lovely spot like San Diego or Phoenix or New Orleans. I'd call home, and my wife would say, got 16 inches of snow last night. But now we live on the 16th floor of an apartment building in New York City, so we don't have to shovel anymore. So I call home, and my wife's biggest fear is that she's going to get to the grocery store in our neighborhood too late, and the line will be out the door because a lot of times when there's weather problems or, you know,
right,
you can't get your foot in the grocery store. But anyway, we'll be okay. I really feel for all the people, especially up through that big swath in New England, that are going to have a really, really difficult time over the next two or three days. And Brad, by the way,
yeah,
I was just out at the Biltmore.
Right.
That's where the Pro Bowl coaches and a bunch of players were staying. And I ran into a few guys on the Baltimore Colts coaching staff. And one of them said, my flight just got canceled. I can't get out of here till Wednesday. So we don't think about people going back there. We think about how hard it is going to be for people to get here.
Sure.
But sure, it's going to be hard for the people who have to go home after the Pro Bowl to get home to the East Coast. So anyway, that's a whole other set of problems.
Yeah, 2,000 flights canceled as of about 10 minutes ago. So
it's wow,
amazing stuff. Ameriprise Financial brings you Peter King every week, Jeremy Kitamura, and Ameriprise Financial, a winning combination. Okay, what did you make out of Saturday? In the middle of a Saturday afternoon, it's 75 degrees out here, and I get a text Belichick is speaking. You better check it out. What did you make out of Belichick?
Well, I didn't see it live. I was not home at the time. And as soon as I got home, I YouTubed it, and I watched the whole thing, and it was totally, totally fascinating. Here's what I take from Bill Belichick. He looked at the landscape and was seeing that his, you know, his credibility, his honor, and the honor of his organization, and the integrity of his organization was all on the line, and everybody was doubting them. So I think the one thing that we saw with Bill Belichick that day is he was basically being the, you know, the mama bear, and saying, if you come and attack our organization, you better have darn good proof. And I think he did a really good job in defending his organization and to say that there are possible natural reasons for what happened. And you need to acknowledge those and not just jump on this. The Patriots are guilty because 7 years ago they were guilty of something else.
Tom Brady's legacy, some people brought that up, and I just think that's ridiculous. To me, Peter, this is a minor infraction. This is not Sosa and McGuire type thing. You know what I mean by that? And it may be viewed bigger than that in the NFL circles, but I think bringing up Brady's legacy at any point in this discussion is just beyond ridiculous. And there's a lot of ridiculous stuff this week. I watched Bill Nye the Science Guy on this thing with Belichick. I mean, there's the SNL skit. This has gone way over the top.
Look, I've known Tom Brady since 2001. And over the years, I've had, I'd say, quite a few long conversations with him. I can't sit here and say I think Tom Brady's lying. I can't do it because I don't know. We'll find out. I think that the one thing that really appeared, you know, as though it was true last week, now has a little bit of doubt cast on it. But it appeared that the way that the balls, all those balls had lost pressure in almost a uniform way, that it appeared that some human being had to do this because it hadn't happened to the Indianapolis Colts footballs. So, but now I think it's very clear. I think we need to take a step back. We need to basically say, okay, you know, let's allow physicists, let's allow people who understand this stuff a little bit better than we do, not that we need to abandon any questions about this for now, but let's just let people who know what they're talking about do their jobs. And then at the end of that, if we've got a problem with the investigation, let's criticize the investigation. But I just think it's too early to question, you know, is Tom Brady lying? I don't know if he's lying. We'll find out.
Okay, let me get some thumbnail thoughts from you on these angles. Cam Chancellor, Rob Gronkowski.
What a matchup.
Got a thumbnail
matchup
on that?
For the ages.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, I look at Gronkowski, and he's one of these, he's an unstoppable force if, and I mean if, he gets off the line of scrimmage. But, and that's why Cam Chancellor, KJ Wright, Bobby Wagner, I think the strong safety and the linebackers in that 5-yard bump zone are absolutely vital to the hopes of the, you know, of the Seattle Seahawks to win this game. They can't let Rob Gronkowski own this game. But I think, having said that, I think one of the other things is, you know, that I think everybody needs to look at when you look at just this matchup. Russell Wilson's going to have a hard time making plays against that New England secondary. Darrell Revis, Brandon Browner, you know, Browner the physical guy, Revis the, you know, the blanket. This is not going to be a game, you know, even though Russell Wilson struggled for 55 minutes, I will be very surprised if Wilson can have a 5 or 8 minute stretch the way he had at the end of the championship game. So He's got to find a way to make some plays. I just don't know how he's going to do that.
If Seattle's defense wins, they'll have beaten Manning and Brady the last 2 years. Do they go down as one of the best defenses ever?
I think they have to because, you know, they've led the NFL 3 years in a row in scoring defense. That's a tremendous accomplishment. 3 years in a row, as competitive a league as this is. My feeling is that I think after you separate the wheat from the chaff, after you take out the, sort of their sort of mediocre start to this year, down the stretch, I think I'm right in saying, I think five of their last seven or four of their last six, they allowed single-digit points. I'm not saying they're the 76 Steelers or the 85 Bears, but I do think in this day and age, with the way all the rules are tilted toward the offense,
right,
they have to be in the discussion for one of the best defenses ever.
One last angle. Richard Sherman yesterday, I was there. I didn't see you. You may have been over when he made his comments at the Arizona Grand about the Patriots and the closeness of owner and commissioner on this whole thing with Deflategate. What'd you make out of Sherman's comments?
Well, I applaud Sherman for having an opinion and for voicing it freely. But as I wrote this morning in my column, apparently he's forgotten that in 2007, if we're calling Bob Kraft Roger Goodell's best friend, he took a first-round draft pick from his best friend and took $750,000 from his best friend and his coach. So, I mean, we'll see what the penalty is, if indeed there is a penalty. But, I mean, I think it's easy right now to be able to say, It's easy right now to be able to say that he's not going to do anything to Kraft. But history says that that's not true. And why can't we wait and see what he does to Kraft first? And then if indeed he's very light on him, if Kraft is found guilty of some, or if the Patriots are found guilty, then you can question the sentence. But at this point, I don't know how you do that because, you know, blaming Robert Kraft having dinner with Roger Goodell. I mean, Goodell has dinner and takes pictures with an awful lot of owners, not just Robert Kraft.
I know it's early in the week, but I've been here 20-plus years. I want to keep seeing Super Bowls here. What do you make early of the week of how Arizona is doing? And from your understanding, are we always going to be in the rotation?
Well, you better always be in the rotation. You got a stadium that is perfect for a Super Bowl. You have a city that, the downtown is very good for the Super Bowl because there's rooms in terms of hotel rooms, and there's room in terms of space for media and things to do in NFL experience. And I don't want to say outlying areas, but in places, you know, like the area up around the Biltmore and Scottsdale and Tempe, these are really fun, good, vibrant areas. And, you know, I'll just say this. Every time the NFL, the league meetings are here in March, I mean, there's some of my best memories covering the league, not only because of the Biltmore, but because of spring training. I was saying to somebody this morning, is that the only sad part of this whole situation is that it's not a month later and we can't watch a spring training game when we have a slow Thursday afternoon or something like that.
Right.
But no, Phoenix, in my opinion, will always be in the rotation. It's a quality place, great weather, good time, so much to do here. I mean, I just think it's a great city, great area.
I'll close with this, and you wrote about Ernie Banks this morning, nothing to do with Super Bowl, nothing at all, but it was some really good stuff about Ernie Banks, and you love baseball so much, and there's a ton of Cub fans here in Arizona. When he passed, what went through your mind?
I think one of the things that happens a lot of times when people die who modern fans don't know or maybe, you know, never really found time to meet or to really get to know. I mean, really, Ernie Banks and I always thought this, even though he was, you know, I was young when his prime was, very young. You know, I once, a few years ago, just looked at his numbers. Somebody said, look at Ernie Banks. And so on Saturday, I looked at him again. And in Ernie Banks' six best years, I would venture to say, they were also in very prime years for Mickey Mantle, very prime years for Willie Mays, very prime years for Hank Aaron, 1955 to 1960. And by the measure of power and production, home runs, RBIs, MVPs, and all that stuff, Ernie Banks very arguably is better than any of those guys over his prime years. So, look, I don't attempt to say that I know that much about baseball. I'm just a baseball fan.
Yeah, big one.
And, you know,
yeah.
I just think that anybody who looks at this player and anybody who looks at the baseball landscape, I think you have to look at Ernie Banks as one of the greatest players of all time, and it's a pretty short list as well.
Yeah, and it's in the MMQB. Fans can check that out today, along with Peter, has great notes on all sorts of fronts. Appreciate your time. Enjoy the week, Peter. Thanks.
All the best, Brad. Thank you.
Take care. This is Peter King with us, brought to you by Ameriprise Financial, Ameriprise Financial, and Jeremy Kitamura. A big part, a winning combination, thanks to Peter King for being with us to get our Super Bowl coverage started out. So, the Patriots are arriving tonight. I'm going to talk about that on the other side. And what the narrative is going to be tonight. We always like to advance. I don't like to sit there and open up a paper and say, these are two or three things that somebody's written about. I don't care. I want to get into some of the things that I see that are coming later today and tomorrow that are of interest this week as the Super Bowl moves on. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. I'm Brad Sussmatt.